Hi, everyone. How are you today? Awesome. Why don't we stand and we'll say the Lord's Prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. So today, a little bit on the virtues, mainly the cardinal virtues. And we talked in prior sessions about all of the mechanics, or the architecture, I guess you could say, that goes into an action, into human freedom and choice and decision-making. We talked about judgment and conscience. We talked about what it means to know the law in our hearts, the natural law. And then today, a key piece about moral decision-making and about living the moral life and about living in the way that Christ intends us to, with all the freedom of our hearts that's possible, the virtues. And we don't hear much about virtues anymore, unfortunately. There used to be a kind of a staple of Catholic classical pedagogy, but these days it is what it is. So the Catechism in 1803 says that a virtue is habitual and firm disposition to do the good. A habitual and firm disposition to do the good. So it's a good habit, very simply put, right? It allows, it says, the person not only to perform good acts, but to give the best of himself. The virtuous person tends toward the good with all of his sensory and spiritual powers. He pursues the good and chooses it in concrete actions. And this quote from Gregory of Nyssa, the goal of a virtuous life is to become like God. So virtues are natural things. They are part of our human nature. There's two different kinds of virtues. There's human virtues and theological virtues. So today on the human virtues. The idea is that, like anything in life, you need training to do it well. So virtue is a habit that's practiced over and over again until you get so good at it, you don't think about it so much anymore. Maybe you've heard of the concept of muscle memory. For people who are good at athletics, which I am not, but for those people who are, if you practice, say, free throws over and over and over and over again, after a while, you don't think about it anymore. You just kind of move your hand and arm, and the ball goes in the basket. That's perfect muscle memory from repetition. Behavior is the same way. If you practice good behavior over and over and over again, after a while, it's not such a struggle anymore. You just do the good. That's a virtue. Okay, it's being in a good pattern of behavior. And like Gregory Nyssa says, the goal of virtuous life is to become like God. This is how God makes us into himself, one of the many ways that he uses to do so. So that's what virtues are in general. Okay, they're good habits, disposition or an inclination to do what is good unfailingly. Okay. Human virtues, it says, 1804. Human virtues are firm attitudes, stable dispositions, habitual perfections of intellect and will that govern our actions, order our passions, and guide our conduct according to reason and faith. That's a lot in that little piece, right? But it's a lot of what I just got done saying. It means that I'm going to know my intellect, I'm going to know the good, I'm going to will and do the good, those two parts of myself. I'm going to train them both in the same direction. I know it and I do it. And then as I do so, I'll order the rest of my body, my passions, appetites, senses, all the parts of me, because I'm a bodily person, I'm going to order it in the right direction because my body follows after my will and my intellect. So I must know the virtue, I must do the virtue, I must live the virtue. As I do, I become the virtue incarnate. It says, the moral virtues are acquired by human effort. They're the fruit and seed of morally good acts. They dispose all the powers of the human being for communion with divine love. Okay. So those are the human virtues, things that we can just sort of learn. Theological virtues, on the other hand, which should be another topic for later time, the next one in the catechism actually, they come to us from God. They have to be sort of beamed in from on high. Human virtues are things that any human being can work on whether they know God or not. They just sort of understand in their heart what the good must be. Okay. Which brings us to the cardinal virtues. There are four cardinal virtues, and they are human virtues. And cardinal comes from the Latin word for to hinge, the cardini. So that means that all the other good acts, every other good virtue, every other good disposition, in some way, shape, or form, comes back to one or more of these four. That's where they're cardinal. They're at the heart of all the other virtues. Okay. So what are they? This is a good quiz, actually. Does anybody know what the four cardinal virtues are? That's why you're here, right? So, all right. So it's justice, prudence, temperance, and fortitude. Justice, prudence, temperance, fortitude. And those are the four cardinal virtues, okay? And they're actually not just Catholic understandings. They go back to the Greeks and into very early classical thought. So a little bit on those things, right? It says in 1805, the four virtues that play a pivotal role and accordingly are called cardinal. All the others are grouped around them. They are, as I just said, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, okay? So a little bit about each one of those things. I'll start with prudence, okay? And prudence is talked about in 1806. Section 1806. It says that prudence is the virtue that disposes practical reason to discern our true good in every circumstance and to choose the right means of achieving it. Quote, the prudent man looks where he is going. Okay. So in other words, of the virtues, right, prudence would be the one that helps us reason our way forward. A prudent person is a careful viewer of reality. It's prudence is sometimes called, I think that's actually in here, right, the charioteer of all the virtues, okay? So in other words, it's the guide that moves us along in the right directions, okay? So it's going to take my reason and allow my reason to order the rest of me to make good decisions again and again and again. Thomas Aquinas, following Aristotle, says that prudence is right reason in action. It's not to be confused with timidity or fear, nor with duplicity or dissimulation. So in other words, just being shy isn't being prudent necessarily. Just being confused isn't necessarily prudence. Prudence is an intentional carefulness about our actions. It's a caution rooted in reason, not fear, but rooted in about what is right and wrong in every circumstance possible. Okay? It's prudence that immediately guides the judgment of conscience. The prudent man determines and directs his conduct in accordance with his judgment. With the help of this virtue, we apply moral principles to particular cases without error and overcome doubts about the good to achieve and to avoid evil. Okay. So, as I said a few times before, in the moral law written in our hearts, we all know the basic moral law is to do good and avoid evil. That every person on this planet knows that in some intuitive way. And hopefully the further along we get in life, the more that's teased out, so we do that better and better. Doing the good, avoiding what is evil. Do good, avoid harm. Prudence gets in touch with that very deep understanding of our conscience, of the natural law that understands what good is and what evil is and what to go toward and what to avoid. Okay? So that's a very important virtue. So as I practice prudence more and more, I will get better at it. As I practice good decision-making more and more, my decision-making will get, hopefully, better and better, and my thinking will become clearer and clearer. Conversely, if I'm imprudent, if I am hasty in my decision-making, if I'm impetuous, if I'm impulsive, then my impulses are going to control me more and less my reason, and I will not be prudent, I will be unhappy. I'll be miserable. I'll make other people unhappy, too. So a trick about virtues is they are the key to my maximum happiness and others' maximum happiness too. They're the maximum protector of my dignity and everybody else's dignity too. When they're lived well, things go well. When they don't live them, things go south. That's the way it works. So that's prudence, the first cardinal virtue. Second one is justice, the virtue of justice. Justice is the moral virtue, 1807 says, that consists in the constant and firm will to give their due to God and neighbor. Justice means I am in touch with what is owed, okay, what's required. So prudence is right reason and careful decision making. Justice is the intuitive sense that I practice again and again of giving what is due. Okay, what is owed to people is to respect their dignity without fail. And that takes a variety of forms, but the core of it is, you know, if you're a person, what are you owed? You're owed respect, you're owed understanding, you're owed charity, you're owed basic human needs. The Catechism goes on to say that justice isn't only applied to our neighbors. Okay, it consists in the firm will to give God his due and what is due to our neighbor. So justice is owed to God too. God is owed something. He's owed worship. In the Mass, you know, the dialogue, the preface, let us give thanks to the Lord our God, and you say, it is right and just. In other words, he's owed this. He's owed our worship. It's his due. That's the virtue of justice, okay? The justice toward God is called the virtue of religion. So the virtue of religion comes down to right worship, to placing God before everything else, to shunning false idols, to shunning superstitions. That's all irreligion and false worship. So the coming to Mass every day is an act of practicing the virtue of justice, because we are giving God what is his due. Okay. Justice toward men disposes one to respect the rights of each and to establish in human relationships the harmony that promotes equity with regard to persons and to the common good. When I understand what each person is owed, I will build a better society, because I will give them what is due to them. Okay? The just man, often mentioned in the sacred scriptures, is distinguished by habitual right thinking and the uprightness of his conduct toward his neighbor. Here quoting, Leviticus. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. And also quoting Colossians, masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So this is supposed to govern all of our conduct. Okay? So we have the virtue of prudence. I'm going to be very careful about my actions and my conscience. Justice, I'm going to be careful and give what is due to others and to God. Third virtue is fortitude. Okay, fortitude, third cardinal virtue. It's the moral virtue that ensures firmness in difficulties and constancy in the pursuit of the good. It strengthens the resolve to resist temptations and overcome obstacles in the moral life. So this is perseverance, basically. It is the strength to do what is right and to do what is good. And again, like every other virtue, right? The more I practice it, the better I'm going to get at it. There's no question that living the good life, as we try and do that, we are faced with obstacles, all these difficulties, you know, things that make it harder, temptations, people who are frustrating, health conditions, things in the world. There's all these things out there that give us pause and throw up obstacles and roadblocks to walking the just and prudent path. Fortitude is my continual overcoming of those obstacles, and the more that I do so, the less fearful I become of those obstacles. I just move through them. Okay. The virtue of fortitude enables one to conquer fear, even fear of death, and to face trials and persecutions. It disposes one even to renounce and sacrifice his life in defense of a just cause. So here, quoting Psalm 118, the Lord is my strength and my song. Okay. And also quoting John, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, Jesus says. So fortitude is rooted in the knowledge that God has conquered all. He's conquered all things, and my only fear should be the healthy fear of the Lord and nothing else. I have nothing else to fear if I fear the Lord's power and trust in his goodness and his providence, his protection, his strength. As I know those things, I will be strong as I move through the world. Okay? So that's the virtue of fortitude. Last one is the virtue of temperance. Temperance is the moral virtue that moderates the attraction of pleasures and provides balance in the use of created goods. This is a big one today, as we worry more about things like overeating, overdrinking, over this, over that. In the American culture, we have so much at our fingertips, so much instant gratification, and so little to hold back our appetites. Temperance is a key modern virtue that we have to work on over and over again. It governs my appetites. Okay, if you if you think about a radio tower. Maybe you could go driving around, you see these big tall antennas in the field. Many of them, at least recently, were always held up by these guide wires, you know, one over here, usually four of them actually, guiding it on the corners. You can think about temperance as a bit like the guide wires that keep something upright. Okay, it's going to regulate all the other appetites and processes of life and thought, so that way we're always standing as straight as possible. And if I become intemperate in my vices, if I eat too much, do this too much, anything to excess, then like a tower leaning too far in one direction, it's going to come down. Okay? So temperance is like the guide wires that keep us upright. It's moderation. It's the governor on our appetites. Okay? It says that it ensures the will's mastery over instincts and keeps desires within the limits of what is honorable. My instincts can be good, but they have to be governed. All right? It keeps desires within the limits of what is honorable. That's a very good way to phrase that. The temperate person directs the sensitive appetites, so the stuff inside that's driving me, toward what is good and maintains a healthy direction and discretion. Quoting Sirach, do not allow your inclination and strength, do not follow your inclination and strength, walking according to the desires of your heart. Temperance is often praised in the Old Testament. Do not follow base desires, but restrain your appetites. In the New Testament, it is called moderation or sobriety. And St. Paul talks about this to Titus. We ought to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world. So those are the four cardinal virtues. Okay, prudence, justice, temperance, fortitude. And all of them, every other good action in some way comes back to a combination of one or more of those virtues. It goes on to say at the very end of our talk here that before we get to theological virtues, which is another session, another time, human virtues are acquired by education. We learn these things, okay, by deliberate acts and by perseverance, ever renewed and repeated efforts, and they're purified and elevated by divine grace. So we take what our nature is, and the virtues are strengthened by grace as we grow in God's power and presence, and we get better at them as good habits. The theological virtues, which are faith, hope, and love, they must be infused into me from on high. I wouldn't have those things without God interacting in my heart. But the human virtues grow out of who I am as a person in general. And his grace works together in my heart to make all of this possible. It says, Christ's gift of salvation offers us the grace necessary to persevere in the pursuit of the virtues. Everyone should always ask for this grace of light and strength, frequent the sacraments, cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and follow his calls to love what is good and to shun evil. And there you have it. That's 15 minutes on the four cardinal virtues.